Welcome you aboard Rise of the Star Lords, episode 62, Frost Rhymed Gallery. I'm treating this like a safety speech from the tour boats that I have to give all the time now. I'm going to need your attention for just a couple moments. Last week, our heroes defeated a Runeslave giant and ended the effects of a fourth level baleful polymorph on Gror. After that, they made their way down a dimly lit corridor to a room. In the center of this room was a floating, giant-sized sarcophagus surrounded by hovering medical equipment. The moment one of our heroes moved just a little too far in the room, a decorative statue morphed into a neutronium golem. A fight ensued, and we ended the session with Jacinto's Protean summon, grabbing onto the neutronium golem, allowing our Tanya to attack its ankle viciously. The golem's mighty ankle resisted Artania's efforts, and Jacinto retaliated by casting Wisp Ally.
The mightiest of spells.
Yeah. It'd been a little bit, so I decided to do a more in-depth retelling of what occurred last week.
I, Tom, appreciate it. Not that I forget anything.
Yeah, no, you have a...
No, mind, never.
Like a steel trap.
I'm the bear, right?
I wanted to be the bear.
And now that I'm through the recap, I'll introduce you to your cast or the crew. We've got Nick and Lahan. We've got Tom and Jacinto / Artania. We've got Leif and Ava and Conrad, Grar, and a burrito. burrito's very important.
Sounds like the start of a joke. Nice. Conrad, Grar, and burrito walk into a bar.
And these four are going to respond to an icebreaker, courtesy of God, she, her, he, him, they, them, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. If you could change what falls from the sky every time it rains, what would it be and why? Note, it cannot be anything of significant value. Let's start with Nick and Lahan.
I don't know. That is a good question. I want to say batteries, but I feel like that would hurt.
What is significant value? Because like you could claim batteries are of significant value.
I would say significant monetary value, and a standard battery in Starfinder does not cost much.
Oh, we're talking in Starfinder? Okay.
Yeah.
I think the prompt is saying like nothing that's going to make people rich. This is for the purposes of joy rather than wealth. But please continue.
So batteries falling from the sky would bring joy to Lahan as they brought suffering to others. How about Jacinto?
Jacinto would have... So rain makes a lot of noise when it falls, depending. And Jacinto would not entirely change that, but rather instead of like raindrops, he would have like musical notes fall from the sky, and every storm would be a literal symphony, and it would be awesome.
Actually, that would be amazing.
Right?
What about Ava?
I'm really fighting the desire to just say goblin blood.
I was gonna say, are you gonna go metal? Are you gonna go metal? Is it gonna be goblin blood or goblin ears?
No. I think the thing that would please Ava the most, and you cannot tell anyone, glitter. She would absolutely adore it if glitter fell from the sky. But biodegradable glitter that. Biodegradable glitter that doesn't get stuck to anything.
Okay.
So basically just like twinkles.
little twinkles of light falling from the heavens. I could get behind that. Actual glitter would be evil.
That would be the most evil thing ever.
What about Grar?
So I would like to first note that, like, we have the extremes of, like, good and evil here. So first off, we started with pieces of metal, and then musical notes, and then the blood of other sentient beings, and then, like, rainbow sparkles. Like, you all don't take things halfway. Anyway, so I'm gonna cheat and give two answers. Grower, pre his journey, would have said, like, BP5 layer burritos from Space Taco Bell or something like that. Because who doesn't love those things? Currently, Grar has appreciated the value that water brings after being stuck in the plane of Earth. So, Grar, you know, it's the old adage of, like, if I had all of God's power, I'd change all these things, but if I had all of God's wisdom, I wouldn't change a thing. Grar, in his journey of self-development and all that stuff, would not change a thing.
I like the answer.
Mm. The beefy five-layer burritos one or the water one?
Yes.
I'm gonna leave that up to everyone to interpret.
All right. And since we're already at Grar, it is Grar's turn in initiative.
You did that on purpose.
Actually, I did. Okay. That's pure happenstance, but I'm taking credit.
All right. So Grar doesn't know a whole bunch about Neutronian golems. All Grar knows about golems, they have some sort of damage resistance and immunity to, like, various elemental types. Did we figure out what these things are vulnerable to?
I don't think you... I think I read the entry on it, and he wasn't especially vulnerable to anything.
Yeah, I think I identified it.
So, like, no elemental weaknesses or anything like that?
No, it has a whole bunch of immunities and some damage resistance, but it doesn't have anything that it's like, oh, this will do double damage or anything like that.
Okay, so Grar has decided the Neutronian Golem is vulnerable to bear.
I mean, that is a possibility. It could be a secret. Could be a secret vulnerability.
Man, those rolls are poo-poo.
They are poo-poo, and they both do miss. Grar just lashes out with their 15-foot reach, just reaching across space with their weird noodly arms.
I'm very large, okay? It's not even noodling arms, I'm not touching them. I'm disrupting the very elemental essence that powers the, you know, force of creation.
That's much more impressive than just, like, noodling gummy arms.
I can't both make the sound and push the tug. Make the gesture, whatever. Anyway, on to Ava.
Yep. Ava, you have a very damaged Neutronium Golem. And, wait, Wisp Ally. Give me the specifics on that real quick, because that could possibly change that second attack, actually.
Plus two.
To hit?
Yeah, plus two to hit.
And you're targeting EAC?
On first attack only. Which would have been the net one.
Okay.
Oh, well, that's...
I tried to help. You still have a very damaged Neutronium goal.
You know, it's funny, Jet, because you secretly did help. Anyways, because Roll 20 decided to crash right when it came up.
Oh, nice. Well, not nice that it crashed, nice that I helped.
Yes, you gave me exactly the time I needed to hit the button.
What button is that?
Well, don't crash again, please.
Wow.
That button. Wow. Miss.
Do those factor in flanking at all, Leif?
I have the flanking button clicked.
Alright, so yeah, all of those miss.
Wow.
All of those. This is God weird.
Dang.
this is super weird.
We're just hurting you all, right?
But it's now the Neutronium Golem's turn.
It is grabbed.
Oh, hey, it's grabbed, right?
It is grabbed and flat-footed. I had those both toggled. Those were the...
Oh, okay, so that factored into its EAC already, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. Got it.
I rolled an effective negative, negative, and then a 2.
Can't take actions that require two hands or other limbs to perform. I can't make attacks of opportunity. A minus 2 penalty to armor class attack rolls, reflex saving throws, and initiative checks, and dexterity based skill checks. And I can't hide or anything else. But what I can do is punch that summon.
I was hoping you'd say that.
A critical hit. I rolled a natural 20.
Well,
46.
It's been nice knowing you, Prothean. Or Prothean. Prothean. I've been playing
that. 9 bludgeoning damage is coming through from that Neutronium Golem.
Whoops. He punches my Prothean out of existence.
But you know what? That's a crit that I didn't
that would take. Proactive healing. It's the best kind of healing.
That's exactly what summons are for.
Yep.
Exactly.
I am no longer grappled. Ha ha.
It's true. You punched yourself right out of a grapple.
Just punched it so hard it just poofed into like raw chaotic energy and dispersed.
Yeah. I mean, if there's anything we know about Starfinder, it is that the best way to escape from a grapple is not to tumble or escape or whatever. It is, in fact, to kill whatever is holding you.
Yes. At least it wasn't inside of the Neutronium Golem. It is Lahan's turn.
I don't like that being inside of the Neutronium Golem was an option. I believe I combat tracked that thing last round.
You did. You did.
A shot at it. Although it occurs to me that that thing is probably... That's not what I wanted. I wanted to, like, open you. Take a shot at it. Oh, yes, let's trick it with the... Let's do a feint with my computer's move action. Flat foot it to me. That's a 40.
Sorry, I was adjusting the volume on Hydra. You said 40 to computer's feint. Check.
It's a magic number. Yeah. 15 plus 1.5 times DC, or 10 plus sense motive, whichever is higher.
It has 0 sense motive, so you said 1.5 times its EAC. Mm-hmm.
No, it's a D. It's CR.
Oh, 1.5 times its CR. 10 plus 1.5 or 15 plus?
15 plus 1.5.
Magic. I just cannot match right now. Yes, you beat it by 4.
Sweet, so it is flat-footed against my... I like this crossbow gun. That is the one. That's a crit. I didn't mean to flat-foot it.
Oh, yeah.
Lahan cast Kill Steal, that's all.
I do cast Kill Steal. In fact, that is 64 points of damage. That's cold damage. And it's bind and it has critical bind for 4 rounds. The target is entangled, as if my weapon had the entangled special weapon property. So have fun with that.
I'll have you know it's not resistant to cold damage. At least it's not anywhere on the sheet that I have over here if it is. So I'm treating it as such. So
nice.
You kill it by exactly 2 points of damage. Describe how you destroy this Neutronium Golem.
I shoot it with my frost mod. It freezes into a solid block of crystal. what either, and I guess I'll let Ava tap on it to shatter it into a bazillion pieces.
She hits it with the butt of one of her knives.
Sure, sure. She's like the Fonz, elbow, bam. Instead of working, knife. It just shatters.
Knife butt.
You're a knife butt.
We do, I do aww, have a knife butt.
All right, so this creature has passed on.
Good.
It has crumbled into bits. You have survived this encounter relatively unscathed. And you do have a gigantic floating sarcophagus with various medical instruments floating around it in this room.
That's right. Oh.
Neat. Jacinto hops on Artania and, goes up to inspect.
Yeah, let's, I'm gonna also go over to inspect that thing. What are we looking at here?
It's a hybrid item. It's a combination of technology and magic is what you're looking at. You're probably going to need to make a appropriate check, which I believe hybrid items, you can use engineering or mysticism.
We're both real smart, it's fine.
Yeah, you can't beat us on engineering and mysticism.
Their powers combined, they know everything.
Yeah, I mean, I know, but I had to tell them stuff.
Of course, yeah. No,
naturally.
Roll 20. Oh, he's rolling initiative.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-oh.
I'll give you some information.
Yeah,
I in fact have a handout for you. I made a handout. I'm going to be very furious if it disappeared on me.
And now it's vanished. It's just gone. Forever.
No handout for you.
Okay, I just put it in the wrong folder. Here, I am showing the players.
The classic wrong folder.
Rune slave sarcophagus.
Uh-oh.
An immense technomagical sarcophagus emblazoned in seven-pointed stars, New Thessalonian runes, is surrounded by hovering medical equipment. A rune slave sarcophagus has the ability to infuse the body of a freshly slain giant, reviving it and transforming it into a rune slave. Oh, well, that sounds fun. Before it can be used, the rune slave sarcophagus must be activated by filling it with a specially prepared solution of rare necromantic ingredients and rainwater collected from several open graves. The cost of the special ingredients is 100,000 credits, blah, blah, blah. Any living creature enclosed in a functional rune slave sarcophagus immediately takes 66 of acid damage.
Well, that'll probably not happen, though.
No.
Almost certainly not.
Also of note, it specifically only works on giants for the raising of them as rune slaves. As Nick said, anything else takes the 66 points of acid damage per round.
Any living creature.
Well, yes.
If you're not living, you won't take that damage.
Yeah, but it's intended to work on giants, so it's not going to raise, if one of you had died and you stuck them in there, it would not raise them as a rune slave.
We can destroy it by brewing a variant mixture of the necromantic solution and then attempting to use the rune slave sarcophagus to transform a good aligned giant who volunteers for the job. The sarcophagus can be caused to crack open across the site from carving immediately. Destroys the sarcophagus and slays all living rune slaves it created. Hey, don't we know a good giant?
Aren't they on the wall? Didn't we send them to the wall?
Some of them, but what about the lady who is allied with us?
Yeah,
that's who I was thinking of.
That would stick it to Machmere.
It would.
Well.
And it's as awful. All of this flashes through Lahan's mind, we're going right back into combat, y'all.
Rude.
I wonder what's in there.
Why is the treasure rolling initiative?
As this creature bursts from the earth, and I say burst from the earth, it's not like throwing up chunks of the ground. It's just kind of moving through the earth as though, or not the earth, the ground, the decking, as though the metal flooring does not slow it at all. I was just using the previous initiatives is what I was intending to do, but if you all want to reroll, you can. That's fine.
Let's reroll. Feels better that way. Ah!
Sure.
I got two worse, but that's fine. Oh. That's still a very high roll for Jacinto.
We're like twinsies, but I guess we're better.
I think you all are staying in the exact same order. We'll know once Grawr
rolls.
Oh, nope. Grawr jumped ahead of Jacinto, otherwise you're all the same.
Yeah, that tracks.
But this creature did come at you out of surprise. And it's kind of rising up out of the earth, and it's reaching around front of Lahan and just raking its talons across your tum-tum.
We didn't remember to walk without rhythm.
Good one.
I don't like the new way that they do rolls on Hero Lab. It used to show the actual dice roll. Now it only shows the final number, and that, for some reason, irritates me. But a 42 versus your KAC.
Oh, that's quite rude. That is a hit.
37 fire damage as these hot talons just burn across your tummy.
Ow.
And you get a chance to respond. You have this large creature behind you that just burned your tum-tum.
Yeah, that's not okay. I'm gonna do TFO. Oh, you know what? I hardly ever get to do this. Increase my land speed by 20 feet. I kick on my hover skates. I
kick on your hover skates, huh?
Uh-huh.
Why?
I was just got healings.
Huh? Why? Because I can. I move all the way over against this wall. Taking a shot at that bad boy. The 37 to hit EAC.
That does hit EAC.
For 32 points of cold damage.
Some of that seems to not go through as the heat from within
Rude.
Its body burns off some of that.
Rude. Alright, I pass my turn.
Huh. The stream has not updated itself to show the new creature. Or the sarcophagus? It's just missing a whole bunch of stuff for some reason.
But it shows Lahan moved over there and us standing next to the sarcophagus, which is very strange.
Right? When you're all on the same layer? Reload. It's probably going to all of a sudden reload to the GM layer.
Well, it's definitely not on the GM layer, because I can see them.
No.
Right.
No.
Is the...
Well, yeah. I have two accounts, and it will sometimes just decide to swap between the two of them, which is what it just did. So, and it doesn't always like it when I go rejoin his player, so I'll have to hop to a different account and change the box.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
I had to use. Yeah,
I just used a second browser. I had like the one I was actually using in
I was doing that, but then it didn't like it. And for some reason, it's just not showing anything but you guys.
Yeah, that's really weird.
I'm going to take us to standby for one moment, folks. I'm going to try and fix this. Sorry about that. It involved copying and pasting. I don't know why.
You may never know.
Does.
And as I said, not all of that damage went through. I had to do mental math, and again, my brain is just... It's not. It's just not what my brain is doing tonight.
Your brain is not.
Yeah. But, Lahan, you moved. You shot. You used your Heelys to get away. It's Garar's turn. Garar, there is this large creature, which, again, I intended to shift Z and show people. It is a weird... It's a metal being that has hints of the mechanical to it, but they don't look like they are functional. And it's got a big old burning fire in its belly, and it's lit from within, and that flame is coming up and into its mouth, and it's backlighting its eyes and its mouth.
Gror is like, another golem? Okay. What are the odds my full attack is going to miss twice again? He says out loud to nobody in particular.
Cursing himself. Well,
hey, that's my next shtick.
Well, the first one does miss, but the second one doesn't.
Okay, excellent.
What kind of damage is it doing?
It is force damage.
Okay.
That's just
a lot of damage. You hurt the creature. So you did a full attack, so that was your whole turn. Ava, this thing just kind of rose up out of the ground, not damaging it, raked its talons across Lahan, and then it got shot a bunch and clawed a bunch.
Damaging Lahan? Unacceptable. Ava's gonna move up to here. Was the coffin in the air
The coffin is floating in the air. It's a couple feet off the ground. It's not laying down. It's actually in a sort of a vertical position, just or gotcha. Near vertical. It's like canted back ever so slightly so that you could actually kind of put a body up in it and it would stay in it and not crumple over.
So I can't go under it easily.
No, not easily, no.
I'll have the movement for it. There. And let's find out if it's resistant to sonic. Oh, no. Rolling more garbage. That's a natural toot.
That does indeed miss.
I should hope so on a two. That'll be my turn.
Jacinto, what would you and Artanya like to do?
All right. I concur with Ava's assessment on this unacceptability, and thus will thrust vigorously with my mind. So, you know what?
Thrust vigorously with my mind. Go on.
Did I stutter? This jerk can take a fourth level mind thrust. 67. Not bad on 10d10. In fact, quite good. Please to be making or failing a DC 21 will save.
Yes,
I do.
Much like literally everything under the sun for no apparent reason. Actually, no, this is the worst save. I was looking at the wrong one.
Oh, good.
I was like, man, Jacinto, just everything has high will save. I got a 26.
You jerk.
I did roll very high, actually.
That's fine. I'm just yet again reminded of the woes of being a spellcaster in Starfinder. 67 divided by 2 is 33, rounded down.
Despite the fact that you didn't get that huge burst damage, you do have consistent damage, as long as it's not something that's immune to...
Yeah. No, I'm not actually... not actually too upset. It's just nice when they actually fail their will saves.
Yeah. But it screams when you thrust your mind at it, and it feels very foreign. It's sort of a discordant music that you're pushing your Song of the Spheres into, and it sort of just, it's the screech of rusty metal as it screams out in agony. And what would Artanya?
Well, great question, Jet. I think Artanya is going to fly down to... So this sarcophagus, how high up did I have to get to peek into it?
Well, it's closed over, and there's like a fairly big viewport up fairly high.
I had pictured flying up. Is that correct?
It's kind of like canted back just a little bit, and it's hovering. Like, this is the bottom of it, this is the top of it. It's tilted back just slightly so you could put a body in it and it wouldn't just crumple forward.
Sure.
And it's hovering just a few feet off the ground.
Oh, okay. So it's not laying horizontally. It is sort of standing vertically on an angle backwards, like the Leaning Tower of the sarcophagus.
Sort of. I did not have a good picture for that, so I just used
that's
sarcophagus in repose.
Of course, yes. My favorite art piece, sarcophagus in repose. So, Jacinto will, let's see. Jacinto's gonna voluntarily fall off of Artanya, falling the 20 or so feet. Man, I should really have, like, I should get descent thrusters for this exact situation, so I could just, like, curl myself off of Artanya.
Paratrooper Jacinto?
Yes, the paratrooper mystic. And as Jacinto does this, you want to say it's like 10 feet off the ground, 20 feet off the ground?
It's probably like 10 feet off the ground.
Okay, I take 1d6 non-lethal because it's voluntary. I take 1 point of damage. I'm the best at falling off of giant Cthulhu horror spiders.
Your little flower fronds just slowed your fall.
just ever so slightly. And Artanya zips over to come into flanking with Ava. I believe this would provoke.
This creature would respond with that. And it's gonna lash out with these very hot claws. Natural 20.
Oh, my poor little spider boy.
78 fire damage.
Of course. 78. I mean, don't get me wrong. That is more than half of Artania's health. But, you know, we'll burn that bridge when we get to it. Artania is going to fight Ava's.
Bite Ava. Gotcha.
No, I take it back. Flanking. I should really add a flanking, but I don't have one. That's a natural one. All of this was for nothing. That is my turn.
And as Artania lunges forward to bite, the creature leans sort of back and down, and just it drifts into the ground.
Well, that's not good.
That's not good at all.
An attack of opportunity does it.
This is always weird because it's technically an alternate form of movement. Can you?
Yeah, I mean, you can take an AOO when somebody's flying away, yeah. Right?
Yeah, so you can swing at it, I guess, as it drifts into the ground and disappears.
Flat. Totally gonna hit it this time. It's a 21 versus K. Man, our time.
How does 33 strike you?
33 does strike, but it's a very close margin compared to what you might be expecting.
Well, I mean, I rolled a 12, so that's not so bad. For 35 sonic damage.
And it has descended into the ground.
Since it is the first successful hit of the this session, I will remind you of my ER and DR reduction.
Yeah, it's not resistant to sonic, so that's not coming into play, but thank you for reminding me. And so as to not drag this out further, it's not going to return immediately. You don't know when it's going to return, but we don't have to stay here and be like, oh God, is it? Let's do everything turn by turn.
I'm ready to attack.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was weird. Cinto will say as he, like, you know, readies to cast a spell on Artania to heal his poor spider friend. Check my spell gems, buddy, and see if I have anything that won't cost me a daily spell. If anybody needs a 10-minute rest or time, Cinto would love to just use his staff of mystic healing. But it doesn't look like anybody really is, like, dying for a rest.
No, not yet. But, I mean, if you need one, we can stop.
Okay. If you all are cool with that, I'll take 10 minutes.
One second, Tom. Because I refreshed my memory on what's happening in the next room, and there is not a door between the two rooms blocking off all sound, and you have just had no less than two fights in the room that you're currently in, making a decent amount of noise as you do so. So you start to hear the thump, thump, thump of feet.
Well, I cast a spell on Artania instead of doing my 10-minute healing then. Yes, I do that. In the time that I hear these thump, thump, thumps.
Thump, 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 thumps.
You hear thump, thump, thump. I'm pulling up the stats for some new creatures. Just for you.
Where do we hear them coming from, and do we have enough time to reposition?
You start to hear them from behind you, or what would be to the east, Ava?
Oh, I think I actually already see one of them. Are we re-rolling again? All right.
Yeah. Again, I refreshed my memory on this stuff, but has been a couple weeks since I actually wrote it.
So, I'm cool with it.
Big mood, fam.
Jacinto, in desperation at this third fight, will draw a lot of his own life force out and, you know, pool it with the healing that he generates for Artanya, sacrificing 40 of his 74 hit points. Jacinto looks suddenly drained, but Artanya looks great. And Artanya is the one that generally gets hit. He said, jinxing everything. Mm-hmm. Let's roll initiative now.
You know, Tom, you can cut yourself off. You don't have to always jinx yourself.
No, I could stop anytime I want to, but.
So you do hear these noises behind you, specifically you, Ava. And Ava, you are first. You hear this stumping sound, like heavy footfalls.
Yeah, that makes sense. Ava's actually, what she's going to do is she is going to... Oh man, it's been so long, you guys. Can I just ready an attack with a standard action?
Sure.
I legitimately don't remember. It's been all PF2. It's been so long.
Yes, you can.
Okay. Then I will move here, and I will prepare to stab it when it comes around the corner. And warn her allies of the impending stomp.
And what you see coming around this corner, let me shift to you once more, is this creature. They're about between 10 and 15 feet tall. They have a bloody stump where their head should be, and they're wielding two mighty axes in their hands, and they're, well, neck to toes in armor.
I don't like it, Jet.
They look very imposing, I imagine. And let me see. But they actually can see Roar.
Oh, of course they can.
And now I need to measure how far away Roar is. Roar is 40 feet. So I'm going to take a minus 2 penalty to this attack as it hurls one of its axes at Roar. Does a 35 hit Roar's case?
That's the case, exactly.
I didn't hear what Conrad said.
It's 35 exactly.
Okay, so I do match it. So it's currently 47 cold and slashing damage as this very bitterly cold frost rime hand axe slams into your side, Grar.
Okay.
Oh wait, no, that narrowly misses you. Minus 2 penalty to the attack. I forgot to apply that.
Okay.
Apologies.
You have nothing to apologize for.
Lahan, you saw this very tall, headless person walk around the corner and hurl an axe at Grar.
Yeah, that's no good. Bad day. I can see it from here. Let's combat track. And shit. As one does, that's a 23 versus DAC.
That will miss.
Yeah, that's fair. That wasn't very good. Pass my turn to Grar.
Grar, you get to respond to this attack that came out of nowhere.
I tell the headless creature, which I'm almost certain cannot hear me, let me show you how a very, very intelligent bear will solve problems. He's got intelligence like 16, he's very smart. He's gonna charge it.
No.
This, yeah. He's gonna charge it and do a trip attack as part of the charge.
Is that versus versus EAC? I see the
EAC.
Super duper hits. If this was Pathfinder 2E, that would be a crit. So 16 damage. It would help if I had the right tool selected. 16 damage. And this trip. Yeah. Yep, that definitely hits KAC plus 8. Matches it, actually. So you have hit them, hurt them slightly, and knocked them prone.
Very good.
And you hear more stomping. You guys are significantly faster than that boss. Oh, but they can't quite do it. He'll double move in front of his boss. You see just this undead creature walk in front of the headless one. It appears to be a deceased giant, a smaller giant, somewhat analogous to what would be a hill giant. But it is obviously dead. Its skin has sort of a greenish, grayish hue. Pieces are missing. There is coagulated blood, and its gait is sort of almost shuffling, and it's got like a vacant look in its eyes. And it used all of its turn to move up adjacent to you, Grar. Which I think would actually provoke an attack of opportunity because you have a 15-foot reach.
Sure do. Let's do it. Take that.
That super duper hits. 41 damage. That is a big hit. But it did step in front of its boss. Jacinto, you see this nonsense going on.
Yeah, you know what? I don't like that nonsense. Jacinto will hop back onto our tongue and off we go. Let's see. Tanya takes me right up behind Grar. And let's see. Yeah, I think we're going to cast an oldie but a goodie. Give me some etheric shards.
No! No!
That's a classic spell. So etheric shards, jagged. Staccato music erupts in the air and forms into some razor-sharp matter hovering throughout the area. And this is going to give me, only 12 10-foot cubes of just death.
Ava's going to holler at Jacinto, leave me some room back here.
I will leave you exactly 5 by 10 feet.
I'm trying to find... It's been a while since these have come into play. I'm trying to find the... area effects. That's what it was. What did you say they were? 10 foot or 20 foot?
10 foot cubes. So just a... Yeah, yeah. You'll want to turn the animation off on those.
Yeah, turn them off. Pause. There we go.
All right.
And you get how many of these?
12.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. And there. Oh, well, yeah. Anything like how this is set up right now, you're going to have, like, 5 feet. All right. I saw the...
Keep going?
yeah, everywhere I can see...
Are you able to move them at all?
No.
Okay.
I can dismiss it, though, if it becomes a real issue.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
And also, then, how tall are they?
Also, they're 10-foot cubes, so it's 10 by 10 by 10.
So, and how tall are the ceilings in here?
Let me refresh my memory, because it's been a bit, but I think they're at least 20 feet.
Yeah, so you should be fine as long as you're not flying.
Because it was designed for larger beings to walk around.
Well, but here's the great thing. It's I've been reminding myself of Ava's talents and abilities, and oh my god, she has a 40-foot climb speed, so...
Fantastic. Then
you're going to be fine.
With that in mind, could you... I'm sorry to ask, could you move all those up 5 feet? This way we just coat this area in depth and make a, you know, make a little a funnel for these giants to run through.
Whoever made these templates made the grabbable area 5 feet bigger all around than the actual thing.
Oh, I hate that. Place one there. The left of that.
That's
eight. Let's put 1, 2, 3, and 4, I guess, and call it a day.
I just did the 12 squares closest to the door, if that, because you there's two that it's kind of... Oh, you'd have to be able to see them.
You gotta have line of effect, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So just, I guess, throw the extraneous one up there.
And then there's one more.
No, because that's five.
Right here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I can see this corner of this 10-foot cube, if you'll allow it.
Sure, that's fine by me. This is just going to be a nightmare all around.
Uh-huh.
And let me... Oh, gosh. Let me just... throw these on the map layer, because otherwise it's going to drive me crazy, because I'll accidentally be grabbing them.
Yeah. This long 5-minute turn has been brought to you by Etheric Shards.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yep.
So while Jed is doing that, what happens if they... So it says movement through an area of Etheric Shards tapped, yada yada, and creatures entering 5-foot cube filled with Etheric Shards take 1d8 slashing damage per 5 feet. And must succeed at a reflex saving throw again within one condition, which stacks with itself and other sources of bleeding. However, a creature that remains motionless within the area takes no damage, but such a creature is flat-footed unless it moves enough to defend itself, which forces it to take damage and attempt a saving throw. Never mind. So they can either stand motionless and be flat-footed to our attacks each turn, or take the reflex saving throw and... gain the bleeding condition. They just take slashing damage, and the reflex saving throw is just for the bleed condition. So that's... Oh, this is such a good stand and fight spell.
Okay.
Okay.
This is... I just got an echo from somewhere. So they can stand still and be flat-footed, or they can make a reflex save to move, and... Judy's asking me a question.
Yeah, sorry. So, two things. If they're moving through, like, if they're using their movement to move through the thing, they have to make a reflex saving throw for every 5 feet and take 1d8 damage regardless of the pass or fail for every 5 feet. If they're standing still, so, like, the giant that is standing right next to Grar right now, that giant will have to either decide to be flat-footed and not have to make a save each round, or... make a save, but not be flat-footed, risking taking a little more bleed damage, and automatically taking 1d8 slashing damage as well.
Okay, and you said bleed damage, right?
So yeah,
there's a lot to this spell.
There super is. So every 5 feet, they take 1d8 slashing damage, no save.
Yeah.
Also, every 5 feet, at the same time, they make a reflex save to avoid bleed one. Which stacks.
That's what it is. All right. Yeah. And it stacks. So it just keeps going up. All right.
Yep.
So you...
It's horrifying.
You have etheric sharded my large creatures once again.
Yep. They're going to shard their pants.
Joke's on me. No pants.
Oh, no pants.
Oh,
what
my
are they
God.
Supposed to shard then, Jed?
I'm done with no pants. Nobody is a winner.
It's kilts, no pants. Is
and
that
now,
everything that Jacinto can do to me that's awful?
Jacinto is going to direct Artania to bring us back around the corner. No giant flame or frost rhymed axes for us, thank you very much.
Well, that's just rude. Well. Fun thing is, this creature is quite obviously undead, but what it's going to do, it doesn't move. It's got 40-foot range. How far away is Grar? Grar's 45. -2 to this attack as this creature stands there and just picks a piece of rubble off the ground and hucks it at the bear. This creature right here. There's rubble all over the place. Let's roll an attack. I rolled a 39 to hit, which we know, which would be a 37, which would still hit because Brar's is 35. So take 27 bludgeoning damage as a hunk of rubble bonks you on the head.
-2 DR makes 22.
It is another creature's turn.
So, to be clear, this red one to the south is flat-footed?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
We have these very nice token things, status symbols that Nick got me. What one looks like a flat foot? We'll just do this little running thing. That'll be flat-footed, because I don't want to hunt. This creature right here is going to walk over here. And
now.
That was 25 feet of movement, Tom.
Oh boy, Jet. Go ahead and roll, I guess, if it's easier for you, 5d20 and add its reflex save to each, you know? Because I need 5 reflexes saves from
what's
you.
What's the DC I have to do?
The Etheric Shards, it's a 3rd level spell.
Real quick, the failure result of this is just bleed, correct?
Yes.
These things are actually immune to bleed, they are undead.
Right.
So they're just taking the damage.
Bummer. Okay, so it's automatic damage then, so that's cool.
Yeah. So just roll your damage for 25 feet of movement.
Which is 5d8, which is 32 points of slashing damage.
And they're not resistant to slashing, okay.
Excellent. Well, thank God for that. That would have been a buzzkill.
I'm just glad I don't have to deal with bleed.
Yeah. How about I guess the headless ones are probably also undead, come to think of it. I should have done a mysticism check on these bonkers. Oh well.
So it does move over there.
And the another map.
So it does move over there, and then it hucks something at Grar, as they're wont to do. A 30 will miss them. So just a piece of rubble goes sailing over Grar's head. These things are so fast, actually. Bam. All right. 45 feet of movement through those shards. They're smart enough to attack the thing that's threatening their boss. They're not just
98 slashing damage is translated to 44 points of slashing damage.
44. These are not the very smart undead of Eox. These are just drones.
Yeah, no, they're what you call mindless, if I had to guess. Some of them literally don't have brains.
Yeah, at least one of them. Ava, it's your turn. What would you like to do?
Oh, boy. Well, Ava's gonna do a thing, I guess. I could actually move here. We're gonna start there. And then she'll go ahead and attack this guy at the front.
You're attacking the one that's defending his boss from the front, you said?
Yes.
A 30 does indeed hit.
Or 41 damage.
Yeah, especially since you're targeting EAC. 41. The creature, it does not seem to resist Sonic at all.
Good to know.
And that does a lot of damage to it, actually. The headless one is going to stand up. Which is
thank
not...
goodness. This is the Sonic.
The things that provoke attacks of opportunity. They move out of that space. They make a ranged attack.
They
cast a spell.
However, I would argue my own case here for Etheric Shards that it is standing up through a cloud of death and should take a D8 of damage, because that's not standing still, right?
Sure, I'm fine with that.
Okay, cool.
This headless creature levers itself up on its knees awkwardly. It's standing up like a late middle-aged dad. A late middle-aged headless dad.
And that is 8 points of slashing damage on 1d8. Gotta love it.
Yep. And after it stands up, it snaps its fingers, and that axe that it threw appears in its hand, so it's now got two axes again. And it will step back. No, you attacked it from there. Yeah, it will step back. So that's a stand and a move back.
And that is another D8.
Yep.
A balance in all things. 1 point of slashing damage.
Yep, minus one. And I think that's everything that can do. And...
Please hold.
As I put something back on the map.
Oh no.
None of them. Bitch.
Jacinto, something lashes out at you from behind you as you feel a great heat wash over you.
Bummer.
Come on, Hero Lab. Be faster. Good God. There we go. 37 to hit KAC. Well, actually, it'd be EAC.
Regardless.
Yes. Four. Four. 38 fire damage. As these talons rake, I guess, across your entire front, because it is a very large creature and you are very small.
Yep. Oh boy. Spicy.
Yep. Lahan, you can respond to this.
Well, there is a bear in my way, but you know what? I'd prefer a bear be in my way.
I'm sorry, you're welcome.
You could also maybe shoot the scary thing that just teleported behind the squishy caster.
Yeah, for sure. Let's combat track that one and shoot it. You said that one resisted my cold last time, right?
It did.
I take a free action to drop my frost maw, pull my street sweeper. Which I guess is a move action, so I'm not going to combat track. And take a shot at that one with a 27 to hit EAC.
27 to hit EAC. If we had a plus one in the chamber, you could make that a hit.
Oh,
but
man.
I don't think we do.
We don't. We have a reroll.
We could try it. How desperate are we, Tom?
I mean, I'm at... I brought myself down to half hit points, and that one attack brought me down to half stamina points. I'm feeling pretty desperate.
You did
roll a six to get 27.
It is only a six. Give me that reroll, Tom. What does it say?
It's from 11 days ago. Polyhedron said, Tom. So you're using this to hopfully, you know, strike out at my one who would bring you down.
Save, Tom. That's a 15 on the die. Much better. For 25 points of sonic damage to that nasty PC.
25 points of sonic. It does not appear to resist your screaming gun.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Pass my turn.
Grar.
Grar looks in front of him at the carnage and chaos and all that stuff. Not interested. He looks to his right in his blind spot. He's going to make a turn. He's going to check his blind spot. Oh! I remember you! I'm guessing the monster doesn't respond because it's got no ability slash inclination to talk.
It kind of like clashes its maw together and it sounds like clanging metal and a furnace. It's like the furnace from Home Alone when he was having a freak out when he went down there and he was a very brave boy.
Uh-huh. Okay. Grar concludes the conversation. I'm guessing the second one hits.
It does hit exactly. And it's doing... Is it what? Force damage, you said.
Force damage.
Ow, that hurts so much. Grar. Stop
it. Okay. Grar will not stop it. Maybe if you spoke like a normal sentient being, instead of like, I don't know, a rude furnace or whatever, you know, was it Home Alone? I mean, like, I can't picture what you're referencing. Like, I acknowledge the image in my head. I just can't, you know, match to something I've seen in the past.
So it has an actual species, but I'm now changing that to just rude furnace. I like that much more.
Very good.
Did Grar attack the undead one in front of him, or the...
No,
I'm trying to save you, friend.
Yeah, he reached out to touch the rude furnace. But in that moment of inattention, the zombie giant that is in front of you lashes out with its fists. Just starts trying to pummel you.
Is it flat-footed or no?
I mean, it's not moving, so I guess it would be flat-footed.
Okay. So, or it takes 1d8 slash damage.
It'll just be flat-footed. It's not smart. It's just going to attack. So, both of those attacks will miss because I rolled a 28 and a 33. as it was just like bang, bang, and I think you just kind of ignored it as it was bopping you on your backpack. Got you in the extra cushy blanket or something, and you didn't feel it at all.
Backpack.
And it is Jacinto's turn.
So Jacinto. Jacinto's gonna take another hit for sure.
Also, let me look up. So at the beginning of your turn, this creature is very hot, and I forgot about this ability when it previously appeared. Apologize. But you just take 3d4 fire damage for being close to this hot, hot root furnace.
I don't want it. Should I roll the 3d4?
You can roll it or I can roll it. It's up to you.
I rolled it and got exactly half of the potential max. So that's good. Here's what we're going to do. Jacinto is going to run on our Tanya. We're gonna back up to here. So Jacinto and our Tanya like buzz away on our Tanya's spooky wing, and this does provoke an attack of opportunity. You could attack either our Tanya or Jacinto, I'll remind you.
But it's also, this creature actually does have some intellect. It's less worried about a very dangerous spider than it is a spellcaster. Come on. A 40 to hit.
Of course.
Yes. For 41 fire damage.
All right. So 41... minus 27, it's remaining 14. How exciting. I have 20 hit points left. But again, Artanya's just looking like, beautiful. Artanya's feeling so good right now. Man, I'm glad I gave Artanya 40 hit points. But you know what? We're not straying from the course. Jacinto is going to drop a blizzard on these pronkers because that's gonna mess with their. Oh, that's exactly what I'm doing. Yes. Okay. Never let it be said I did not serve my team.
And I will say, this creature, this rude furnace, does look very banged.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm not giving him, to be clear, I'm not giving him the polar vortex. I'm giving this room a polar vortex.
Oh, you're giving that room a polar vortex.
Oh, yeah, no, the room, the death room. The meat grinder's death.
Oh, yeah, a 20-foot radius cylinder, you say?
Yeah, yeah. So I think if I place it here, I should be able to get pretty much every one of the undead giants, save for the one right in front of Brar.
One second. Magical area effects. I need a different color. I can't just go with the acid because it will just blend in.
Yeah, a little bit.
You said 20 foot.
20 foot.
Oh, 20 foot radius.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll just make it bigger. That's fine. Let me pause that animation. That will be. Hero Lab is not super enthusiastic about this decision.
Roll 20.
Roll 20, sorry. I'm just used to complaining about Hero Lab at this point.
One, why not
two,
both?
3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's as close to 8 as I'm going to get, and I'm assuming you're putting it right there.
Oh, yeah. I want to block all these jerks. If you can put it one more over here, then it's going to mess with our axe-throwing boy, because not only does everybody in here take damage, the area is affected by freezing hurricane-strength winds. which mechanically speaking means that thrown weapons and kinetic ranged weapons are going to have a hard time. I will look up the specifics on that off turn.
You're touching every single one of them, despite the fact that the circle doesn't quite touch all of them.
Okay. So each of them can make me a DC 20 reflex save.
DC 20 reflex. I'm going to start with our compass friend. So reflex, not awful at reflex, not the best. I got 23.
Okay. Sorry, typing my damage macro. We're gonna roll damage once I presume.
Mm-hmm.
The group spell. Alright, so he's gonna take half damage of 26. If they resist cold or bludgeoning, the pertinent numbers have been separated.
So. Okay. So he's gonna take half of that, correct? He saved.
Yes, he saved. That's right. Yeah, so he takes half of 26. Pretty lame overall, but that's fine.
You were more going to keep him from throwing axes at people, so.
Yeah.
And reflex saves. Well, these are the bad saves for the zombies. So we'll start left and go right. An 18.
Full damage, 26, cold and bludgeoning.
So 26, the second one got a 22.
Half damage is 13.
And 14.
Both of them take 26 then.
We're all crazy here.
The hell of a full spellcaster being unleashed upon me at level 12.
Oh. Just wait until fifth level spells, buddy.
I'm sure. What other awful things would you like a centaur to do to me?
Let's see. As a move action, Jacinto is going to kick on Song of the Spheres because, oh boy, could I use some fast healing right now. Fast healing with the level of the spell slot. Let's burn an RP for this. So, I forgot. I have dampening music now. I got to double check this, but energy resistance equal to mystic level to number of energy types equal to half level of spell expended. So fire is one of those. Fire. And we've seen them do cold damage. With the
big guy with the axe, yeah.
All right.
So I think the missile weaponry, because you have hurricane strength winds, probably not going to be an issue. They're not going to be affected by the crazy amount of cold, the freezing cold, because they're undead. But you've eliminating missile weapons, I'll tell you that, and you've introduced difficult terrain.
Yay. Don't forget the etheric shards are also half movement. Costs double. They are difficult terrain as well.
Oh, I forgot about that. They wouldn't have quite. They actually have crazy amounts of movement, so that actually wouldn't have affected anything.
No worries. Okay, so everybody within 60 feet of me gets fast healing. Fast healing equal to level of spell slot. So fast healing 4, everybody, for 4 rounds. And energy resistance 12 to fire and cold. So that was my move action, and I think Artanya is going to bring us down to the ground in case I do get dropped. And that's my turn.
You really kind of stymied me, Tom. I've 0 ranged attacks I can do now.
Oh no.
And Grar is pulling a hot gates here.
Yeah, none shall pass.
That is the idea.
I think what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna have these four creatures, these four undead monsters, walk through some shards just to try and position themselves better. So that when their friend does fall, because that's gonna happen, one of them can step into the gap. Give me 35 feet worth of damage.
35 feet worth of damage is, of course, 78 slashing damage. Wow. 35 points of slashing damage.
They're gonna kill themselves just wandering around.
I mean, you know, same, obviously.
Yeah. It's the next one's turn. It doesn't have anywhere to go. It's going to stay there. It's the next one's turn. That one, I guess, will get slightly closer. So hit me with 30 feet worth of damage.
All right, that is 68. 25 points of slashing damage.
Wandering around is going to hurt him so bad. Hey, Ava, what do you want to do? What awful thing do you want to do to me?
Oh, you know, how bad is this guy looking?
He's looking pretty beat up.
Surprise! I don't care. I'm attacking the guy behind him. His boss.
What a fake out.
What a fake out.
I wasn't expecting this. Why did you do it? I didn't expect.
Wow.
Ava, one thing I want to point out.
Can't roll, though, today, so there you go.
I was going to say, one thing I wanted to point out. There are hurricane force winds in that room right now, if you're throwing things.
In the radius.
Which she's throwing into the radius. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Definitely am.
That explains the awful rolls. The wind's problem.
Yep. Yeah. Everyone says, I learned the hard way, and that's her turn.
It is the Headless One's turn. There's nothing it can freaking do. That polar vortex, Tom.
Yeah,
their shards were hard enough, but the polar vortex.
It's a hell of a combo.
It's a really good combo. It's just gonna stare. And endure is what it's gonna do. Because the spell has to end sometime.
Yeah, Polar Vortex is 1 minute, I think. I'll double check that.
It is now the Rude Furnace's turn.
Ah, good. My least favorite turn.
Yes. The Rude Furnace is gonna do a big mean. Its furnace-y tummy that is lit from within starts kind of rattling and clanging, and it's the equivalent to this metallic being's tummy jiggling like a bowl full of jelly, and then its jaw that looks like a bear trap goes wide, and it goes from left to right in an arc, and it vomits up molten slag. And the way this works is I can target three grid intersections within 60 feet of them. Each creature within 10 feet of those takes 66 fire damage and gains the staggered condition as the molten material hardens. An affected creature can attempt a reflex save to halve the damage and negate the staggered condition. Otherwise, the staggered condition lasts for 1 minute or until the target or an adjacent creature uses a full action to free the target. Creature caught in two or more overlapping areas affected by this ability is subject to the damage only once, but takes a -2 penalty on the reflex save.
Cool. That's a really cool attack.
I am. This is probably the most brutal I've been to all of you.
No, that's fair.
Especially Utah.
No, listen, Jet, I have earned everything I am about to receive. Have you seen that that room?
So those are the intersections. So within 10 feet of that, I didn't want to throw more tokens on the map because that would have just made Roll20 even angrier. So it is a DC 20 reflex save. Grar saved to half damage.
the damage is secondary. Like, the whole stagger thing sounds awful.
Okay, the damage is secondary to you. It is not secondary to Jacinto.
Oh my god, we both rolled a 14. Where that's fitting, at least. We're both covered in slag.
How much damage is it?
Lahan, would you like to make your save? And I think...
Let me
do a measure.
I'd like to.
Ava, you are within 10 feet. So, but you have a little bit of a corner there, so I'll give you a +2 to your roll. Which is just what you needed to have the damage.
Double clicked. 23.
Okay, so I am going to slash roll. 6d6. Whoa, what?
I'm
what?
No, I mean, that's a pretty... It's just below average. It's just below average.
I know. I was just expecting a bigger number. Folks,
and this is
listening,
fire, yeah?
It is fire. Folks listening and watching, it was 18 damage.
Good news, everyone. You have fire resist 12 right now.
But...
And what was the DC
you
have?
The DC was 20.
Ah, nice. So, yes. No fire damage.
For those of you that saved, you do negate the staggered condition. For those of you that failed, you are staggered for 1 minute. That minute can be reduced. Again, if a creature uses a full action to free the target, or if you use a full action to free yourself. Otherwise, you have a minute staggered.
Well, we can't use a full action to free ourselves.
Well, it says
we're staggered.
That's weird. Otherwise, the staggered condition lasts for 1 minute or until the target or an adjacent creature uses a full action to free the target. That was a weird phrasing.
Fair enough. It's possibly a Pathfinder 1 translation error.
That's straight from a Starfinder creature. I found a creature that was almost exactly like the Pathfinder creature.
That's awesome.
So
all
someone
right, well.
Just did a thing. All right.
Okay.
Man.
Could have been a lot worse.
I was
really
I was
cool ability.
Terrified I was going to kill Jacinto, I'm not going to lie.
Fine.
I mean, you have the money to make that not permanent, but... Lahan, what would you like to do? This creature just belched liquid metal all over the place.
I mean, I would like it to die. I will combat drag the angry furnace over there and take a shot again with my street sweeper. That's a 23 to hit EAC. Oh, yep, I did toggle it.
Did you toggle it?
I did toggle it.
Okay, that will miss by a fairly wide margin, actually.
Well, it is a 2.
Right.
Two.
This creature vomited molten metals upon you, and the creature directly in front of you, the undead small giant, was just punching you in the backpack.
So, first off, let me narrate a couple things that happened. Mr. Metal Machine puked, forget metal on me, but Roar, almost got nailed in the leg, and he just like, oh, don't want to step in that. And was protected by the heat from one of Hesed's 12 million bombs. He has not acknowledged the other giant, so he's just gonna continue to try to whatever this metal thing is doing. He hasn't liked anything so far. He hasn't liked the thing where he's made of metal and makes a lot of noise. He doesn't like the thing where he just disappears to the ground and doesn't like to die. The only thing that he apparently really likes to kill the plant just to balance this world. So on goes the combat against Mr. Angry Furnace. Alright, I'll take one of two isn't bad.
Yep. It is still standing, but you're just ripping pieces of it out of reality. It is very, very damaged. that first strike does.
That's fine. I'm not going to see it take another turn, I'm pretty sure.
Maybe. This creature that's directly in front of you, though, it is going to full attack you. It's going to try and punch you a whole bunch. But a 22 and a 28 will miss. It is a worthless creature, and you should ignore its existence. Jacinto, what...
I already have.
What other awful thing are you going to do to me, Jet, the GM, personally, not to my creatures?
Yeah. All a personal attack. I think... Part of me really wants to... I think Jacinto just lashes out with a mind thrust at this point. He's been burning through a lot of his daily resources, but... This is, to be fair, been a lot of scary combat, so I think Jacinto is going to indeed mind thrust this giant jerk.
Which jerk?
The giant one, you know, the only giant one. No, the metal, the angry furnace one. Yes. This is a level 4 mind thrust. I have 1 fourth level spell slot left. And I know this isn't the end of the dungeon, so I'm scared. But yeah, here we go. Good damage.
You're gonna be very happy though, Tom.
He failed.
Rolled a 4 on the die for a total of 16.
That is 52 big points of damage.
You super murder this creature, and it sort of just loses cohesion, and the furnace winks out. It's like the pilot light got shut off, and then the metal sort of loses cohesion, and it drops to the ground in a molten puddle, and then it starts cooling.
Got him! Jacinto will call out to himself, encouraging himself for defeating an enemy as a battle leader. So, battle leader. It's been so prompting long.
Jacinto high fives himself.
He does, and boy, is he good at it. He gives himself a certain amount of stamina. Everybody can benefit from Gotham. You get a +5 morale bonus to damage rolls till the end of your next turns. And I'm going to benefit from regroup, stamina equal to 2x class level plus charisma mod to me. So, getting a little bit of stamina back. We're level 12, so 24. I get 29 stamina back for doing a murder. Ah, that's double my hit points that I have left. And Artania is going to sort of struggle. I like the idea that we're both sort of like slagged together. We have been like molten slagged into one even more monstrous version of Artania. And I think Artania just slowly starts moving towards Grar. Well, doesn't even have to be slowly. You can still move 40 feet. And that's my turn.
Nice.
Oh, and a fast healing 4. Everybody, don't forget. Yeah. If you have hit point damage. No,
spellcaster that is not holding back is super scary, Tom.
It's it's a scary feeling both ways, I think, Jed, because I cannot stress enough just how few spell slots I have compared to when I did start this session.
Oh no, I get it. It's fun being the spellcaster unloading to a certain extent. It's just more scary on my end, I think, being on the receiving end.
Yeah, I do apologize.
No, you're fine. You're fine. gosh. Like, they can't do anything. I'm not going to have them move. They can't throw anything, and they can't reach anything. And there's... actually, no, that's a lie. What I'm going to have them do is... The headless one will sort of gesture, because this is just a narrative thing, and they're going to start moving away, hoping to draw you in. Here's what I think is going to happen. So these three will get 5, 10.
Remember, it's a double movement. Right?
Yeah, they do. They're using all of their. They're basically going to have to double move, but they do have a lot of movement actually. So, give me 20 feet worth of damage.
20 feet, you say? 16 slashing.
Give me 25 feet.
25 feet is 5 feet. 26 slashing.
I am tearing up my own creatures so bad.
Etheric Shards is a real sleeper of a spell.
25 more feet.
25 more damage. Slashing. Now imagine if these guys weren't immune to bleed. That would be horrific.
Right? They would be... And they're already in bad shape. They'd be in... I cannot imagine how bad it would be. Ava, it is your turn.
Hold on. How many attacks of opportunity do I get right now?
I think the only thing that you could have possibly reached is the first one that moved.
Okay, I'll take that. One more button. Oh my gosh, like...
But a natural one will...
Natural one will not do anything to anyone.
Ava, what would you like to do? Remember, hurricane force winds.
Yeah, no, she's going to attack the one right in front of her with a regular melee. Mm-hmm. Onslaught. Oh, come on. 26 is my best, I guess.
All of those will miss. Ugh. Wait, no. Flat-footed because it's standing in the etheric shard, 26 will hit.
For 41 sonic damage.
That's a good chunk of its remaining...
Is that including the +5 morale bonus to damage roll?
Not 46 damage.
46 damage. That was a good chunk of what it had left. Good. It only hit because of those darn shards.
Coming in clutch.
The headless one is moving through... It's moving through. Give me 25 feet worth of damage as the headless one just trudges through these frost rhymes, hurricane force, crystal. Oh gosh, it's just so much.
22 points of slashing.
It is looking significantly better than its minions. Lahan, what would you like to do? The Bernie thing's gone.
Well, that's a relief. I'm going to combat track the one on the far side of Grar there, and try to take a shot. It's a sort of a long shot with the soft cover, but I do have combat tracking, so maybe 36 to hit.
EAC against that giant right next to Grar. Yeah, that's super duper hits.
Sweet, 23 points of sonic damage.
23 sonic. That's an ouchie.
Good. That's all I got. Pass
the bear. Grar, I'm assuming you're going to just destroy this creature now.
No. I'm going to roll to destroy the creature.
I was assuming that the rolls were going to be high. They could just be awful.
No, they've just been awful today. Like, it's rarely I see anything above the bat. See, I just have to complain verbally, and like... Anyway, I bite this friggin' head off.
So tell us how you... Yeah, okay, you bite its head off. So tell us how you obliterate it, and you bit its head off. Jacinto, what would you like to do? All your enemies are on the other side of the danger stuff.
Yeah, I think Jacinto is super gonna not spend any more high-level spell slots if he can help it. And he's gonna remember that Song of Spheres is actually taking down. So, oh boy. He is going to... Oh, come on. Come on, roll 20 sheet, work with me. You know what? Do you all think I should dismiss my polar vortex now? Because they're not in it. They can throw things at us. So that's the downside. But the upside is Ava will actually be able to fly in over the etheric shards, because right now that is sort of blocking Ava. She's going to take, you know, a total of 9d6 damage. As will Grar if he moves in there. So I think I might dismiss that as a standard action. Keep the etheric shards up, of course. So that'll be the polar vortex is no more for now. And then Artanya is going to desperately try and break free of his bindings, the slag, but he cannot. And that's our turn.
Sorry, Judy again is asking me a question. You dismissed the polar vortex and then you did what?
Artanya struggles uselessly at the slag. He cannot get out without a full action or somebody else doing it.
Now they're mad because they were in position to throw things, and actually they can't be mad. They don't feel any. They don't feel or think anything too deep.
What you're saying is that it's mad.
Okay, I do have one that can throw something at you, and it's gonna try, but you are far enough away that it will be. I'm sure at a -2 penalty. Yep, it'll be a -2 penalty. I'm gonna try anyway. Roll a 36, -2, 34. Misses Grar.
Aw, shucks, guys.
And what you gonna do about that bear? Nothing.
And the last one can't do anything, and I think that we've got 15 minutes left. I think that's a good point to pause, because that's the end of the initiative order for the for that round. And we'll just end on this disappointed giant going.
And the music of the etheric shards produces a very brief.
Wow. That cut out for some reason. That wah, wah, wah. Was that what you were doing?
Yes. Yeah. Wah, wah, wah.
There, it picked it up that time.
It was probably the wrong frequency for my microphone for some reason.
Too bad.
I'm very glad we got to play today. I hope you guys had fun. I did at you. I piled it on.
It's true.
You really did that.
Normally I'm like, oh, there's a door. They can't hear the firefight. But this time there was no door, and I had a roaming monster.
Doors are an adventurer's best friend, and a GM's best friend for breaking fights up.
Curse the door.
But I actually got you to burn some resources, and I nearly killed the Sith. It would have been interesting.
I mean, okay, listen, you wouldn't have died. You would have gone down, and then I would have spent a lot of my RP.
Yeah, I keep forgetting.
And then I would probably die to Machinarian once we eventually find that monster.
I do keep forgetting. We do have resolve points, because they don't get used that much unless you're using them for a special feat or class feature.
Yeah, like Anelophile's flame that I do all the time.
Yep. All right. So, as usual, I thanked you. I very much appreciate you joining me. And I would like to thank Wolfgang Bauer, because that's a cool name, and they're the one that wrote Fortress of the Stone Giants. And I'd also like to thank Paizo in general, because they did put out the adventure path that we're working our way through and having a good time. And man, I hope I'm not messing it up too much with my conversions.
No, your conversion is delightful.
Leif, I would like to thank you for running audio, but I'd also like to ask who we have to thank for producing the lovely sounds that you put into all of our ears.
Yes, Alex Production and Lo-Fi Girl, as always. Wonderful ear sounds. Also, I know, thank you everyone for bearing with me and my being sick.
I want to thank you for being here with us when you're not feeling it at your best. I very much appreciate it.
I'm feeling better than I was, so.
That's good. I'd also like to thank Steve Collings, Isle of Lore status icons, and Nick for getting them for me. Tell us about Sunday, Nick.
Oh, goodness. This Sunday, we are off once again for Memorial Day weekend. We'll return next Sunday, that is June 6th, if I recall correctly, to get into the conversant ceremony and some tasks. Now that our scholars are big folks on campus.
Then next week we should be continuing this confrontation and delving deeper into the bowels of Jorgen Fist with the ultimate goal of battling Mok Mirian and maybe figuring out how to get to their master, because you do know that they have a master now. You have confirmed that their master is Star-Lord Karzog.
May I share a thought that's got nothing to do with this?
Always.
So, when Tom was describing the Eric Sharps thing, I had the 1990s song by Jewel, like the Am I Standing Still song, every time he said, if the enemy stands still, stuck in my head. And now you all can share it in the future.
That's fantastic.
I'm not going to sing it because I have dignity, however. I think you know exactly what I'm talking about.
If anyone has any questions, comments, or shout-outs, you can feel free to contact us. We have email, nonstandardaction@gmail.com. I get notifications unless, for some reason, my notifications on my phone's messing up, so I should be able to check that relatively frequently. I would also recommend, there should be a link below or in the show notes if you're listening to this, to our Discord. You can jump in there. We have channels dedicated to the various series. You can ask questions there, chit chat, post pictures of cute animals. We appreciate that. I just caught a bird by hand the other day and I posted pictures of that. It was a really beautiful iridescent sparrow.
Nice.
I was very excited about that.
Chet is the Disney princess.
I would be ecstatic to be considered a Disney princess. But I would also like to beg once again for icebreakers. I do have a little bit of a cushion now, but I don't want to rest on that cushion. I would like more cushions. They are the form for it is on the welcome channel and the feedback channel, and I believe it is front and center that you can click on it in the welcome channel, but it is pinned on the feedback channel. And I think it's now time for us to say goodbye, everybody.
Everybody.
Oh, I was muted. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. That's still not singing, though. All
right. Take care of yourselves. Hopefully you join us next week. Thank you.